It's Psalm 2, and it's on page 543 in your church Bibles. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him."
Second reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 4. You can find this on page 1201 of the Church Bibles. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello, everybody. Keep your passage open in Hebrews. See if you can spot where the psalm passage is in that Hebrews passage just while I pray. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you allow us to come to you. We have access to you. We are people who don't give anything to you, but you give everything to us. You give us salvation. You give us your word. Help us, Lord, to have really soft hearts as we listen. Help us to go away from this passage as listeners, careful listeners of you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to ask you this question before we get into it. What voice grabs you the most? What voice grabs you? Is it a politician? Is it an author? Is it a celebrity? Is it a YouTuber even? A preacher? What about Jesus? What about Jesus' voice? When you hear Jesus speak in the Bible, and that's how we hear him speak in the Bible, do you sit up? Do you pay attention? Now, most of you, I think, were expecting me to say Jesus in that list, weren't you? Because we're in church. And he is a good option, isn't he? Christian or not, Jesus is someone very good to listen to. I think most of us want to say Jesus' voice grabs us the most. But if you're honest, perhaps he doesn't. Perhaps he doesn't. Maybe you've got to that point in your Christian life where the novelty is worn off. Perhaps you've been a Christian for a while. You know, you used to come out of church or home groups in Bible study and you were amazed at Jesus. But now you can't even remember what you learnt when you get back in the car. Or perhaps the reality of the Christian life is just, it's just got real. It used to be exciting to be a Christian. Now it's tiring, it's discouraging. You're losing that sin battle again. And what about other competing voices to Jesus? The voice of sin. The voice of an easy life. The voice of giving up. The truth is, as Christians, we're disturbed by the fact that if Jesus' voice doesn't grab us, well, it's the path to unbelief, throwing in the towel. But here's the really wonderful news from today's passage. Jesus, well, his voice can be the voice that grabs you the most. It really can. And that's why this is written. How? Well, it's by seeing Jesus afresh. Fresh. It's when you're convinced of the kind of Jesus who's speaking. Then his voice will grab you. So who is the Jesus speaking? Well, he's the most exalted. The highest, most exalted. And this passage, I think, shows us this truth. Kind of like an iceberg. What do I mean? Well, it's the tip of the iceberg. It is kind of the clear and obvious bit at the top that you know it's on the surface, but actually only 10% is on the top. Most of it is down below the surface. To see the rest, you need to go deeper. So that's what we're going to do. So firstly, we see he's the most exalted because he's God's son. God's son. Let's go from verse 5. And Tim read this bit out in the psalm. This is where he quotes it. Verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son. Today I've become your father. I will be his father and he will be my son. You know, titles or names, they really matter. A Jesus title, it's just in another league, isn't it? Son, not merely God's right-hand man, not merely God's prophet. My son from God himself. Jesus is God's son. Actually, think about that for a minute. What does that mean? God is his father. There isn't a more special relationship than that, is there? It's so easy to take that title son for granted. When was the last time you stopped to think about that Jesus is God's son? Let's go down the iceberg a bit. We see that he's exalted because he's God's royal son. Jesus isn't just any son. He's the son that Tim read about at the beginning there. He's quoting from that psalm. He's quoting from that psalm too. He's the psalm 2 son, God's long-promised king with cosmic scope, due to inherit the nations, who deals with his enemies by smashing them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Did you hear that in the reading? Jesus is not the one who kind of holds his hands like this. Curly hair, whatever. No, he's not the person who just, he wouldn't say boo to a goose. Jesus is that king, the Psalm 2 king. And that's a big deal. When we read the Bible, do we respond like we're responding to a king, that king? If King Charles, he came through these doors now, and he said to one of you, come here now. You probably wouldn't question it. You wouldn't pause. You just do it because he's the king. So how much more should you listen to Jesus, the King of Kings? The royal son's voice should grab you. Final dive down the iceberg. Jesus is the most exalted because he's the divine Lord himself. Have a look at verse 8. This is a really good one for the Jehovah's Witnesses, actually. Verse 8. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Look, who's the only one who can sit on an eternal throne? The eternal God. And more obviously, God the Father says to his Son, your throne, O God. Jesus is God. There it is. But even better, actually, this is a better verse to show the JWs. Look at verse 10. In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Who laid the foundations of the earth? Who said, let there be light? Who owns the stars that you see at night? Jesus does. If you go back to the context, actually, where that's been quoted from in that psalm, it's the word Lord there is the capital L-O-R-D. Yahweh, the I Am, the God of the burning bush, the eternal creator God himself. Jesus is Yahweh, the royal, divine, Lord, Son. Let's just pause there. What a picture of Jesus that we see in this passage. Exalted, isn't it? How could his voice not grab you the most? I think that's the conclusion that he draws in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. Pay the most careful attention to Jesus. What does it look like to pay careful attention to somebody? Well, I think it's a bit like this. And before I was doing this Bible teaching, I used to be a music teacher, as many as you know. I remember my first couple of lessons as a trainee. I'd try and say something to somebody, and it just wouldn't have any effect. I'd say, Aidan, turn around. Aidan, turn around. Aidan, turn around. He didn't turn around. It was obviously very frustrating, but he's not going to listen to a nervous 22-year-old PTC student, is he? But then the head teacher would come in. Aidan sits up, takes note, turns around, listens. Now, Jesus is far more exalted than a head teacher, but you get what I mean. For the important one, you tune in. For Jesus, you pay attention, a little bit like that. Do your ears prick up when you hear him? Do you take note? Do you act straight away? Now, when you come to Jesus' words in the Bible, I think a lot of it is about posture, isn't it? Like, don't come to his words like reading a newspaper, something you can take or leave. Now, you're being personally addressed by the divine king of the universe. Do you realise that? Slow down. Have that realisation. What you're hearing in the Word is huge. There's a real person, a real God behind this text. Do you pay careful attention? Or do you sometimes let Jesus' words wash over you? I like how my words wash over my three-year-old sometimes. She's looking at me, she's hearing me, but she's not listening. They're quite different things, aren't they? In one ear, out the other. It's easy for Jesus' words to do that when he's not exalted enough. Sometimes I zone out before the Bible reading, before the sermon. Or skimming that long Bible quote in that book. Don't think it's that important. I think it's also easy to see for Jesus' words to become something you agree with in theory, but not actually in practice. You know, I think that's when our Jesus is too small. I think that really gets to the heart of this passage. Why doesn't Jesus' voice grab me enough that I want to do a lot more evangelism? Why is that? Because in theory, I know that Jesus says to do it. Maybe my Jesus isn't exalted enough. Why do I listen to the voice of sin when I know in theory that sin is really bad? Why do some sins in our lives go from being something we'd never do or say or think to going from that to something quite a bit more acceptable? Well, maybe Jesus isn't exalted, but he's small. I think the novelty of Jesus and his words, they wear off when he becomes too small. But that's why this passage is here, isn't it? Because it's not our own efforts, it's by the Spirit. As we gaze on Jesus, we're reminded of just how exalted he is. So we should listen carefully to him. Listen carefully, or there's consequences. We'll drift away. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 again. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. You see that? Not paying attention. Well, it's serious. We know the consequences. Do you know a drifter? I think we probably all do. Sadly, I know a few. The one person I know really well is one of my best friends. He started off very well in the Christian life. More on fire for Jesus than me, easily. But then gradually, over 10 years or so, he's gone from paying close attention to Jesus to paying much closer attention to the voice of sin, to the voice of easiness, to the voice of give up, go on. And we know that's where that voice makes us end up, don't we? It's a drift. That's the word it uses. It's a drift. It's gradual. I think it reminds me of when I was younger. I was on Swanage Beach in my blow-up dinghy. I was rowing out from the beach. And the shore, it would be about 10 metres away. And I'd look down for a second and then, it's about 15 metres away. I look down for a second again and then, 20 metres, 30 metres, 50 metres. Before I knew it, I was much further than I wanted to be. Almost a tragic news story of a boy who drowned on the rocks. Don't drift. Don't let it happen. It's gradual. You know, it happens when we forget that Jesus' words in the Bible are the words of the Royal Lord's Son. It happens when we don't think we need to pay attention anymore. We've done that. I'll be all right. Yeah, I've heard that bit of the Bible before. That's dangerous, isn't it? If Jesus' voice stops grabbing you, something else will. And what voice is grabbing you more than Jesus at the moment? What about your boss? It's not that you shouldn't listen to your boss, but you know your boss's voice grabs you more than Jesus. When you're more scared of not doing that extra bit of work on Sunday than missing church. Now, is it your phone? It's not that you shouldn't have a phone, but you know the voice of your phone grabs you more than Jesus' voice when you scroll social media instead of listening to God's words. Jesus' voice must grab us. I think the passage has two strategies to get us listening to Jesus. The first is what we've just seen. Remember that Jesus is the most exalted. You can't go far wrong there. But the next thing we're going to see is quite interesting, actually. It's a cool strategy. Remember, reorder. Remember, reorder. The fact is, there's so many competing voices out there. And to stop them from grabbing us the most, Jesus needs to grab us the most. We need to put him at the top of the pecking order. And to do this, Jesus is compared to the next best thing. I don't know if you noticed this in the passage. He's compared to angels. And the comparison is kind of used as a benchmark for how we should listen to Jesus. Come with me to see this. If you kind of scan your eyes down the passage, you can see angels pop up everywhere. It's quite strange, isn't it? Verse 4, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Verse 7, of the angels he says this. Verse 8, but of Jesus he says this. It's all over the passage. And then he ends, chapter 2, verse 2. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? If we ignore Jesus? Can you see his point? You pay careful attention to angels, don't you? They're really big and scary. And when you don't listen to them, there's punishment. So, if you listen to angels, which you do because they're exalted, then listen to Jesus then. Others have said this is the Robbie Williams heresy. I'm loving angels instead heresy. But notice what he's not quite saying that. He's not saying don't listen to angels, but listen to Jesus. He says, if you pay careful attention to angels, which you do, then pay careful attention to Jesus. But I think you might be thinking, like myself, when I first read this, how does this argument kind of work on us? You know, we don't really care about angels, do we? Well, this is what someone said this to me. I think it's very helpful. If an angel turned up in this room right now, you would care. You'd absolutely listen to them more than anyone you currently listen to now. I mean, think about all those examples of angels appearing to people in the Bible. People just go frozen stiff when they see one. But Jesus is astronomically more exalted than an angel. Even more sure to bring judgment if you drift. So how much more should we listen to Jesus? So I think, without forgetting about actual angels, it's helpful to ask, what is that angel in your life that's competing for your ear more than Jesus? That grabs you more than Jesus' voice does? And how do you listen to them? Is that angel your boss? Is it a celebrity? You know, is it an influential family member or a friend? To be honest, the first thing that sprang to mind for me was actually the authorities. I'm actually terrified of going to prison. I'd hate that. Now, if a policeman stopped me in the car, I'd do every single thing he said. Or even when I get the heating bill, I listen to them and I pay up straight away. I know I won't be able to escape if the bailiff comes to my TV. I think the reason that's really helped me to recognise that angel is because it gives me the benchmark I need for how I should respond to Jesus. So the feeling I have when I read, pay up on my heating bill, what is it? It's urgency. It's quick to act. Eyes wide open. Well, this is what I should feel like when I read the words of Jesus. But times by 10, more urgent, quicker to act, ears and eyes wider, open. How do you react when a policeman pulls you over? You know, how do you listen to your boss? How would you listen to the Prime Minister? How would you listen to an angel if they came in here and spoke to you right now? Listen to Jesus like that, but times 10,000. You know, you lean in and listen to important breaking news on telly, don't you? Listen to Jesus like that, but even more. Your ears prick up when your favourite podcaster gives his new insight into health or whatever it is, parenting advice. Well, listen as you would listen to them, but even more. You sit up and pay attention to the letter that comes through your door from the doctor saying you've got a big problem. Listen to Jesus like that, but even more. Jesus is so exalted. Let Jesus' voice grab you the most. Sometimes it really feels impossible to do that, though. I think you'll know what I mean. I mean, especially when not listening to Jesus is the easier option. Especially when you have the world preaching at you all the time. Listen to who you want. You make the decisions in life. Take the easy path. You listen to Jesus. Well, that ancient old myth, listen to him if you want, but he's not, doesn't really matter in 2024. I think this passage shows us an exalted Jesus so that even when we hear the enticing voice of sin, the arresting voice of an angel, whatever yours is, even when you think there's no way that Jesus' voice can grab you like he did before the novelty wore off, his voice really can be the one that grabs us through remembering who he is and reordering him to the top. Imagine if his voice did grab you the most. Imagine what your Christian life would be. Every time you had your Bible open, you'd be on the edge of your seat. The King is talking. Imagine how easy it would be for you to change. The King said to do that. So I need to do it. Imagine how quick you'll be to trust this King. The King said, don't be anxious, so I don't need to be. Imagine how powerless the voice of sin would sound. Why would I pay attention to that when King Jesus' trustworthy voice says, keep going, you can make it to the end. Gaze at the exalted Jesus. Remember who he is. In the power of the Spirit, reorder him to the top. Let his voice grab you the most. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this really amazing big picture of your Son. Thank you that he is the final word on everything. Thank you that you have spoken through him. Thank you that he is exalted more than we can imagine. Thank you that he is divine. He's the royal Lord Son. We pray that we would be listeners, careful listeners of him this week and going forward. We pray that in his name. Amen.